Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B Money! We up! Tank, Jay Valentine, we are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
All things.
All things.
Every single part of R&B.
Not some things.
Yeah.
All things.
All things.
Because as we say all things, it's not just the glitz and glamour.
Yeah, it's not what you see.
Of R&B. It's not just what you see.
Yeah.
It's also
The
people you don't see.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
What you hear.
What you hear.
Close your eyes.
Close your eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes, Jay. Close your eyes. Yeah. Yeah. This is, we have an educational moment along with, I mean, one of the coldest voices I've ever heard.
Man.
I mean, period. And I always tell him when I see him, I said, man, if you don't put out a record and stop playing with the universe,
ASAP.
Gave you this gift. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we have on the R&B Money Podcast, give it up for Stevie Mackey in the building.
Yes, sir.
In the building. Yes, first of all, congratulations on the two-piece. Okay. Let's start there.
Yeah. I knew it was coming.
Can start. He already started. That's the
so
voice.
He's gonna sing.
He's gonna sing the whole.
Okay. I should have done.
Hook me up with you know, I need the drip.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you, first for being here, and and just a little history. I met you, and we'll dive all the way back, right? Because you know we like to go to the beginning. But I met you with Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
And it was crazy because she was doing a residency at Planet Hollywood. And I go to this show, me and my wife, I was like, yeah, let's go see J-Lo. That'd be fine. I mean, she can perform, she dances, she does her thing. And J-Lo got on that stage and sang.
Sang.
And didn't miss.
Mm-mm.
And I said, who's this J-Lo? Who that?
She been doing some work.
She killing. And then I met you. Mm. And we sat at a piano in the suite of all suites.
VIP.
J-Lo has a suite of all suites.
Oh, yeah.
And then I began to understand the magic that is Stevie Mackey. I just wanted to give you all a little bit of that, okay? Oof. It starts there. And we got a whole story to go into that. But we're going to let him do the rest of the storytelling. Brother, we like to go all the way back to the beginning, right? Yeah. And so when did you know, or when did somebody say, you have a gift, you're special? When did that happen for you?
I remember being about 5, and my parents were playing Daryl Coley at home.
Okay, yeah.
And I whispered to one of my relatives, I said, I can do that. I was a little nothing. And I said, I can do that. And I was a quiet kid. My parents are very social. I'm a little introvert. And so I said to somebody, whoever would listen, I said, I can do that. Singing came like the ABCs to me. It was very natural. And I would just mimic everything. And my parents played some good music. They would play the Clark Sisters. They'd play Commission. They'd play the Winans, BBC,
very
Take
important.
Six.
That's a very important thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Parents playing the... Not even just the right music, but just playing good music, right? Because right is relative.
Right.
But good music is not.
Right. You're right. Good music is good music.
Good music is good music.
Yeah.
Play some good music for y'all kids.
Yep.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's what you're playing. When you don't think they're listening, they are. Yeah. I was a little thing and I would turn over the record to hear Jesus Is a Love Song and these records, and my dad would play the records, my parents would play them and try to pick out the chords on the piano. They're musicians too. And so I'd listen, I'd say, I can do that. And I'd go around mimicking everything I heard from cartoon voices and Sesame Street voices to singers that they loved. So I was mimicking, but I was still too shy to sing in front of people. But you know, as I got older, I started doing it.
When was the breakout moment?
I mean, it was church. It was church. I remember getting in front of a church. I went to a pretty conservative.
Where are you from? Let's start there.
I'm from Pasadena. I'm from LA.
Okay,
born in LA.
Pasadena got some legends, man.
John B. was just talking.
John B. I've worked with John. I love John. Man, Pasadena is a hidden gem in LA, and it's kind of old LA. Mm-hmm. And it focuses a lot. The city focuses on art, and it pushes art. It always
now I realize why he said relatives earlier too. But go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah.
Relatives.
You know what we're going? No, I'm not from LA, but I'm from California. So, you know, it's just certain little things. Okay.
Man.
Okay, so your relatives.
Yep. Growing up, pianos all over the house. Growing up in LA, you know, I would go to church. We went to church on Saturdays, raised Seventh-day Adventists, grew up going to church on Saturday. A lot of Adventist people grow up with harmony around them. Less instruments, more a cappella harmonies. So I grew up listening to the a cappella choirs and the harmonies. And I would get in church. I remember singing one time and hearing the audience, like the church ladies in the audience going, ooh, oh. You hear the little gasps in the audience when you hit a note. I was like, I had vibrato or something.
Yeah.
And they're judgy, you know. The church people are judgy. They're like, when they start going, oh, you hear that noise like, oh, maybe I'm supposed to do this thing.
Yeah.
So whenever you hear people say, whoa, oh man, you could do that.
Yeah.
That's a sign to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, go in that direction. So I was like, I never felt that before. I was like, oh, I'm gifted in something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I was gonna be an artist and draw and maybe make cartoons for Disney. And I loved doing that because I could do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started getting reactions from people at 12, 13, when I was singing, I knew I had a special voice and I loved to do it. I loved to. I'd mimic everybody. I'd turn to Yolanda Adams, CeCe Winans, Fred Hammond, all of them. I was trying to become these people that I looked up to so much. So, you know, teenage years were everything.
My first time singing in church, it didn't go the same. It didn't go as well.
tell us about that.
I was a kid, you know, I was just trying to figure out my run life. You know what I mean? And it was the State Baptist Convention. My grandmother was the dean of the State Baptist Convention. And we had been rehearsing Jesus Is the Answer all week.
Yes.
And they had been letting me practice the lead.
for the world
right?
today.
One of the leads. Mm-hmm. And it was me and like a couple other guys singing the lead. So Friday comes and it's time to do it. And the choir director, he comes over to me, he says, listen, we're going to let the other guys do the lead today. You know what I'm saying? We're going to just have you singing the choir. And I threw a fit. I wasn't like, not like a loud fit, but I was just like, and I go to my grandmother. Mm-mm. And she like, what's wrong, grandson? And my grandmother's aggressive. Like, she don't play no game.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what's wrong, grandson? And I was like, had me rehearsing all week to do the lead, and then he gonna come to me and say, I ain't singing no lead. And I gotta say, no, you singing the lead. Let's go. And we march on down to the choir thing in front of the whole choir. My grandmother walk in, what's going on? You got my grandson rehearsing all week and I sing no lead? He was like this, well, I just wanted, no, he's singing the lead. That's
he's
it.
Singing the lead.
And I'm like, well, yeah, you don't mess with Mary Jean Giles. You don't mess with that. You know what I'm saying? The dean here, player. So I'm all excited to sing this Jesus is the Answer lead. And so song starts and I start singing my lead. And I'm all in here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And as I'm singing, it's just, you know, it's no real reactions. It's just kind of, you know, fairly quiet. And I hear this lady from my church. She said, take your time, Darrell. Oh. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take my time.
Take your time is never really good. Right. Take your time means I love you, but you can do a lot better than this. Come on.
Take your time. Ooh. So as we're continuing to sing the song, I'm noticing that the other guys who were also singing lead, who were a lot older than me, were slowly but surely boxing me out of the microphone. Ooh. So by the end of the song, I was singing to their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think nothing.
But they were saving you.
They were saving
you.
Me.
Didn't realize.
I didn't know that.
In church.
You were being saved.
I was being saved. Come on, I talk. Come on, tabernacle. Well,
you know, you see what you're doing.
You're starting to get your church life together.
I'm not a church nigga. So
he started to put the pieces together. Yeah. So after the big service, we walk into the car, and my Auntie Betty, who was the choir director for our junior choir, you know, so it's a sing with, you know, I go to Auntie Betty because Auntie Betty gonna give you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Auntie Betty, how I do? She said, you was off, baby. You was real off. And I was like, okay, all right. Well, back to the drum board. And that made me go really study and lock in. And so like you, I used to mimic everybody. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't totally allowed to listen to R&B music, but I would mimic Stevie.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But there was the Mississippi Mass Choir. That was Kimberly McFarland. And
that's right. The Kim McFarland.
And then, yeah. and then came along my studying of the Winans. And then that made me say,
Betty was
I
like,
wanna be a great,
she kept it real
I
with
wanna
you.
Be a great singer. And it pushed me into the space to where I started learning from all of those people. Mm. And the fact that at that point I was trying to run, running was everything to me. So I started digging in the archives of who was running.
Yes.
It sounds like by the time you debuted, you had it kind of figured out.
I listened for a long time before I tried to sing. I did. But also, my parents played the singers that did runs. Mm-hmm. Because running, we're from similar generations. I was born in 81. I'm 40 now. Running has become a popular thing in pop music. But back then, you got just a few runs. Whitney was doing a little. Luther was doing a little. Anita, you know,
it was
know,
more straightforward.
It was, I think, you know, when you talk about runs and like Sam Cooke and people who brought runs into popular music.
Anita, I mean,
Franklin. Aretha, mother Aretha.
Oh my God!
I mean, but
Sam
Cooke.
Somebody was talking about. That's
James,
what I was about to say.
You were about to say James
Brown
was cold.
Gets overlooked because he was such an amazing dancer. The same way that Michael Jackson gets overlooked.
Yes, because their singing gets overlooked
because they were
performers.
So powerful and they were so great at being performers.
Yeah. Right,
that
right.
Their vocals are secondary for some odd reason.
Rick James,
cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded.
Prince.
Powerhouse
yes.
vocal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't think Prince gets overlooked
now,
as
he does
singer.
Too, though. Not as much as, to me, James Brown is the most.
James Brown gets the most.
James Brown just is known
when
as a performer.
When they name amazing vocalists, he's never like on nobody's list.
Yeah.
It's like, have y'all not
he's
listened?
He's not there with Donny Hathaway and Marvin Gaye. He's
but have
never
y'all listened
wasn't,
to
it? It wasn't smooth. It wasn't. James Brown was a monster vocalist.
Yeah. Yeah.
monster. Yeah. I mean, he was doing them high Mariah Carey.
Yeah, he was. He was like a preacher and a singer all in one because he was half talking.
Yeah.
Because what note is, what note is that?
That's not even. Get it changed. What?
Yeah. I still haven't heard anybody remake It's a Man's World.
Man's World.
It's a very tough record. It's a very tough record to re-sing. They'll try all the rest of these records.
But that one's
tough.
You're
right.
You're right. So with that stuff all came from the church.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And a lot of it came from Detroit. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of groups out of Detroit that were doing these runs. Like you said, the Winans. When you got into the Winans and Commission, we have to give the Winans and Commission a lot of points.
Absolutely.
Fred Hammond, Stevie Wonder, Mitchell Jones. You know, a lot, that Detroit sound is very important to what we do today in R&B. Mitchell. You know, all the guys up there, you know.
Keith Staton, who kind of invented a sound.
Yes.
He and Marvin Winans had this tone.
You know,
he invented the steel tone. Like, which is, and then John P. Key turned around and turned it into something else that was like
it had electricity to
it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I know that whole Detroit thing needs to be studied and taught and tried to. It needs to be analyzed. No one's paying attention. That sound, Anita Baker, you know, she has that too.
Absolutely.
That Detroit sound, the migration of blacks to the North and how the freedom they felt there, that it got away from the blues in the South but got more popular and like gritty in the North. It has a whole different sound. So that sound transferred as blacks migrated west, you know, Oklahoma, Los Angeles. We got a lot of that out here from listening to that. So we got the California soul, which is more Daryl Coley, the Hawkins, Andre Crouch, that kind of gospel.
Yeah.
And so those kind of runs growing up, I would listen to the chords and the runs and try to mimic all of that. And it was coming into popular music in the 80s. With, you know, DeBarge and some of the R&B groups. And you'd hear it, you'd hear more fun, and the runs got faster. And I was like, who's doing it? And then, you know, I'd hear all kind of runs. And I was like, I got to copy this stuff. Karen Clark, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Vanessa Bell's one of the cleanest runners of the time.
Ooh.
So this is outside of secular music. These are singers a lot of people don't know. Vanessa did the theme song to the Amen show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was so clean. Monster. She's still amazing. But Daryl, you know, that kind of music, the people who could do it were doing it, and I was trying to do that because it was tricky and fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your discovery is around 12, 13 at this point for that.
Yeah. I was carried away by chords and runs.
Were you playing as well at that time?
I was scared to play. I didn't start playing until later, like 16, 17. No, I played out of just necessity. I just wanted to play for myself. But no, we had pianos in my home, but I didn't take playing seriously.
The way you play, I would have thought you started playing at 5.
Oh, man, I wish I'd be a lot better.
Because you can play anything.
I can hear anything, but...
No, you're literally like, you're like a jukebox. Like, if we're all sitting around a piano, you can dial up.
Yeah, I've become that.
Like 200 songs.
Yeah, I made myself, when I coach, I make myself play for everybody I work with so that it gives me a lesson while I'm teaching a lesson.
Okay, you slipped in, coach. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the coaching. Yeah.
That's you understand? Really, I'm coaching myself on the piano over here.
Because during these teenage years for you, are you thinking in your mind, I want to become an artist or I just want to sing in the church and just play in church?
My biggest dream was to be a background singer.
Those that was your dream.
Biggest dream I could possibly dream. Okay. Either be Mickey Mouse at Disneyland in the costumes.
Let's go.
Oh, shit.
Or.
Hey, Pluto. Let's go to Disneyland.
He's dead. Oh,
here we go.
What the fuck is going on?
Tank. Don't act like you don't know.
So
are you kidding me?
So you would study
I'd mimic
Mickey
everything.
Mouse. You would study Mickey Mouse.
I loved Mickey Mouse. I wanted to be Mickey Mouse. I thought that was one of the highest jobs in the world, being Mickey Mouse in the costume, walking around. You know, so I love that. But second best would be being a background singer for somebody.
I just don't want to skip over that. That was great.
That was a great, yeah.
That was great.
I think
you can still be Mickey Mouse if you want to be.
I would stop everything today. I would stop everything. I wouldn't see nobody. I would go be Mickey Mouse and y'all wouldn't see me again. I'd go be Mickey Mouse somewhere and sit at home and record Mickey Mouse all day.
Have you thought about just sidebar? Have you thought about auditioning for Mickey Mouse voiceovers? And what have you done?
They auditioned a new Mickey around the same time I was graduating high school. And this guy, I coveted him. I was like, who got his voice? And I should have auditioned back then, whatever, 20 years ago. But I didn't. So I want to do it. So if anybody's listening out there, I would love to be Mickey Mouse. I'd be the first Mickey with soul who can sing. And I will be Mickey. I would happily be Mickey.
Mickey Soul.
Mickey Soul. I'd be Mickey Soul, and he would have a tan, and he'd be.
Hey, listen, man.
He'd have a little good hair. Like, it'd be a whole thing. Like, Mickey.
I'm rolling with you, Mickey.
All right.
I'm rolling. Okay. Where was we at? I got so lost.
Okay, but in my life, I want to be Mickey.
No, background singer. You want
to be Mickey. I love background singers because they got to travel the world without the stress of, you got to sing this or that. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel comfortable singing a lot of secular music because I wasn't raised on it. I didn't see myself out there doing this thing alone. I like to sing with people.
Yeah.
So I like background singing. You get to travel the world, see the best places, get treated well without the pressure of being number one. And you get to sing with your friends. Yeah. That's what I really, really like. More, if it was my last day on earth, I'd like to be singing with my friends.
Yeah.
That's what I love the most. So that was the highest calling as a teenager, become a background singer. And I have my mom's good friend, who's a family friend of ours, Lisa, who's a background singer. She sang for Shaka for 20 years. Uh-huh. She brought me to rehearsals when I was a teenager. She'd bring me to Earth, Wind & Fire,
yeah.
Shaka Khan and Seal and different rehearsals and
you
say,
got a chance to
just sit there and be quiet. She'd bring me to center stage and mm-hmm. she would just say, just sit there and be quiet and just watch. So that was eye-opening for me that people got paid to sing rather than singing for free in church like I was doing. But I didn't know people got paid to sing and have fun like that mm-hmm. and harmonize. So that was the highest thing I'd ever seen. That was everything.
And was that like an intro to you getting an opportunity to do that?
Yes.
What was that first? Like, what was your intro into that dream?
I mean, I would follow the music. I'd follow singers around, and I'd show up at places where the singers would go. I'd show up at shows, and I remember showing up at shows with no ticket and no money, just showing up sitting in my car and just sitting in the parking lot. I remember doing this at Layla Hathaway show, and Layla gave me a chance early. I sang background for her early on when I first got out of college, and I was sitting in the back of Yoshi's in, I think, Oakland. I was living with my parents. I was not in a good time. I'd been probably fired from my job or something. I was just, you know, trying to make it.
Yeah, you found your way up to the bank. Yeah.
So I was like sitting in the back of this park, no ticket, and I knew somebody in the band or something. I would just sit there. I'd wait for them to come out halftime of the show and then talk to them. I'd say, you know, I'm Stevie. I'm a singer. I'm little Stevie. I could sing. I could sing whatever you want. I sing all the parts. And I would, and I'd
choir
put myself
boy.
Up. Yeah,
I'd
sing, I'll talk tenor, bass. I was everything. I'll sing it all. So I was like, whatever, I'll sing. And then, Layla was like, come to my hotel. And then her friends were like, she was like, just sing something. And I was so ready. I think I sang, you know, hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. I sang some Michael or something. And she said, do you want to work? I said, yeah, I want to work. I thought it was going to be just carrying a bag or something. She said, do you want to sing? I have a show coming up. And I you could be my singer. And I was so excited.
Layla
that
Hathaway is a bar too.
Layla is one of the best singers.
That's
in
your
the world.
This is your first.
This is like my
gig.
First gig, and I was stuck living with my parents who had moved to San Jose, and I didn't want to live with them. I love them, but I didn't want to live with them. So I'm trying to get back to LA, where I grew up and where I had gone to college, and I was out in Alabama, and I was like, okay, let me get back around to LA mm-hmm. where the singers are. So I get a shot to sing background here with her, then I get another call to sing background for Whitney Houston for her Christmas album. Mervyn Warren had called me to sing background on that, and I could sight read.
You go from Layla Hathaway to Whitney Houston. These are your first.
First. And another session was Kanye West, singing with Kanye and Dilated Peoples. I Can't Live My Life This Way. So certain calls I remember, they were my first. And I moved back to
LA.
Were
you singing on the choir on the I Can't Live This Way?
Yeah, I helped arrange some of that. Yeah, I was doing ad-libs, choir. We were... This way, Goo Goo and some others were on that. But that kind of stuff like back then was huge because I got paid. I got $200 for doing this stuff. Like, I'd never been paid to sing. And I was living free here in LA with my grandparents at that time. I was like, I'm moving to LA. I'm going to be a singer, backup singer. I was so excited, man. So that was what I wanted to do. And then eventually, it kept evolving, but
so did you end up touring?
I never toured.
So you were doing more session work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I stayed here and did session work. A lot of my friends would go on tour, but I would stay here. I would go to this spot called Cozy's. I would do open mic stuff. Cozy's. And, you know, out here in the valley, not far from here. And I would go to different spots that had open mics. And I would sing. I'd sing Maxwell, sing, you know, Eric Benet, all my favorite singers. And, yeah. you know, I'd sing all these guys. And I could sing high. And I would learn. I would watch them. It was like a game. I'd see what everybody else was doing. And I'd learn the good mic. I learned what mic was good and what everyone else had already done. Then I'd come in and sing something different and make everyone listen because they talk. And they put me on last because I didn't know nobody yet. So they put me on last at these spots. So I remember just like people would be drunk by that time talking and stuff. But I remember singing and making everybody be quiet. If I can get them to be quiet, I won.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew that was the thing to just kind of quiet down.
In the beginning, I didn't know what that was. It took Big J, excuse me, to tell me what that was.
Yeah.
Mm. Because in my mind.
Silence can scare you.
It can scare you.
Yeah.
Because I was on the road with Ginuwine.
Where they just, yeah,
where they just lose yeah, their yeah. mind the entire show.
You don't have curls.
I don't have curls. I don't. I don't. It's a little wavy.
It's a thing.
It's a little wavy part.
It's a thing.
We have Cali boys out here. Are you Cali boy?
Yeah, I'm from San Francisco.
We have the curls out here.
Whatever. So anyway, so I'm just like, if they're not screaming, it's not happening.
You're not doing your thing.
You're not doing your thing.
Right, right, right.
And so that's what I was programmed to believe until one day, because I would like in those moments where there was a lull in the scream, I would not panic, but I would just like try to do something to get them to scream back. To get them to say something.
Oh, we've watched so many artists do that and lose. Like, bro, there's no reason for the pelvic thrust right
you
here.
You don't have to.
Why did you hump the speaker
And I'm going to go back to Ginuwine, because Ginuwine was so used to the screams that we're singing She's Out of My Life. And he's like, two things for 2 years. And he goes, she was here. And I'm like, you don't do that there. That's not where that goes.
But that's where she was.
But that's where she was.
hey, shout out to my brother Ginuwine. You know what? Fuck whatever he talking about. 2 years ago, that's where she was.
Oh my goodness.
So when there was a lull in the crowd activity, it would throw me off a little bit. And Jason came to me, he's like, listen, bro, you don't have to overdo it in those moments. They're listening to you.
Yeah. Shout out to Big Jason.
Yeah, they're quiet because they want to hear what you're doing. Mm-hmm. They want to connect with you. Yeah. Don't be scared of that silence. I was like, wow, I never knew that.
Mm.
In church, they screaming and shouting. You better do it. Like, it's always something.
Always a noise.
Always a noise.
Sound.
Yeah. And that's what I was accustomed to. And in the beginning of my career, mm-hmm. it took me a second to adjust to the silence of people having a moment with you.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And being able to set an atmosphere.
But you have to be a different type of vocalist for that.
You do. Mm.
That isn't made for everyone.
Nope.
Because that silence is deadly. on the flip side of, no, but if you're not that type of vocalist and that's not what your performance is about, if you're not a flat foot, stand at the mic singer, it can get tricky for you if you're more of a performance base and you jumping around or it's your clothes or whatever it is. It's the sparkles, it's the shit going off, the screens, and nobody's saying anything.
That's when the sweat begins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the cold sweat begins.
Not the Keith sweat.
Not the Keith sweat.
Not the Keith sweat. Cold sweat.
Why?
Cold sweat.
You're so quick.
What? I never knew that side of you. I just didn't know.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. No, but it takes years to learn what not to sing.
Yeah.
And I think with any good singer, it takes years to learn what not to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And you find peace in that silence and people are listening. You're like, okay, this is cool. How do I do this? I'm not a performer like that. I ain't gonna dance for real. I dance like Carlton Banks or something. Like, I'm just gonna do that and give you a snazzy outfit or something. But I'm not gonna perform like that, but I'm gonna give you the vocals. I'm gonna just make you sit still and try to put you in a trance and connect so deep. You're just like,
for sure.
I wanna bring almost a tear or something. I'm trying to get to that point. That was my party trick.
I've seen you do it. I've seen you do
so that since I was young. That I knew I could do that, so I was like, all right, that's my thing. So I'd watch singers and I'd come in at that moment and try to make an impact.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How did you get from the session background singer? I mean, you're living the dream. You're making money, doing exactly what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
to being now the premier vocal coach to people who can really sing. Like you're like for example, JoJo.
Yeah, JoJo,
who can sing, but will sit at the piano with you and you'll.
Yeah,
make adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things. How did you transition from there to there or to here?
I mean, just in short, my mom's a school teacher. Mm-hmm. I come from a lot of school teachers and pastors. Mom's a school teacher. My dad has been a physical therapist for many years. Growing up, that's what he did. I understood the muscles and how they could recover. So I understood the muscles.
Come on, man.
And
break
I could
down
teach.
That technique.
Man, he's talking about it.
This is some of the first stuff I knew. Muscles and how they recovered and teaching. So little do we know, we take a lot from our parents and the people around. We're little without trying to or knowing it. Mm-hmm. That was an automatic thing for me. I knew how to teach and break things down because I learned how everything worked. I love history. I love learning how everything works. I knew if I could get someone to listen a certain way and become a character, their voice would change. So I taught people how to be characters, and I love that. So I was asked around, you know, after singing background for some years, I was being asked to help groups harmonize. And Danity Kane at that time was a group, and I was asked to work with them. And then it was another group, and you know, groups, it was just a lot of different guys and girls groups, and I knew that like the back of my hand, harmony. So I would have them become different characters, and then singers would ask me to help prolong their voice, and I knew how that would take place too. And I minored in vocal performance and opera in school, and I majored in graphic design at Oakwood University. So I had a lot of experience singing opera, but I didn't want to sing
it. Wait. This Oakwood place.
Oh, it's magical.
No. Because that's where Shalaya went.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and Brian McKnight, and Little Richard,
like,
and Take Six.
Okay.
And think Prince. Like, okay. It's like that. Right.
Shout out to Oakwood.
Okay. It's a little gym.
And this is in Alabama,
Huntsville,
correct?
Alabama. Singer, and you go there today, like singing is like basketball. It's like a sport. There's so many choirs and singers, and everybody's just, it's where like running, like if you can run, it takes off at Oakwood. Oakwood loves a run. It's like, you went to HBCU too. So it's like, the Morgan.
It's like Howard University.
It's like Howard Morgan. You know, those HBCUs, when we have a thing as people, like, oh, it's going to be
so
magnified.
It's a real sing off.
It's a sing off. It's like you buy a ticket to go into the auditions of the sing off. It's like that for real.
Yeah.
So either you're gonna do it or you're not.
Yeah.
So I went there. I was singing. I wasn't perfect pitch or nothing when I started Oakwood. I was just trying and I was fearless. And I would sing. So Oakwood gave me a whole lot of, you know, push. And so this place is incredible. They have the best choir, the Aeolians, Dynamic Praise. Like, these choirs are incredible. So coming out of Oakwood, I still didn't have, you know, you're still trying to make it and work. And I knew that if I could teach people how to sing, I could last a long time in this industry without having to compromise anything I believed, not try to be, you know, this or that. Just I could make everyone happy, including myself. I could teach people how to sing and last forever, because the people behind the scenes lasted the longest time in this business. Mm-hmm. I knew that because I would see people rise and fall. So I was like, if I become a coach, I'd be young, but if I do it differently, I can make it work. So I started throwing little parties at my house, and I would throw parties on Tuesdays with tacos, and I had a little skillet, and I would make tacos and as a recital, because recitals were boring. I didn't want that. I wanted to have a party. So we'd have Taco Tuesdays at my house where all my voice students would sing, and we'd come together and just make some tacos and sing together. And then at the same time, you have Instagram, and I have to get a lot of credit to social media at that time. Instagram debuting video formats. Mm-hmm. So a 10-second video or a 15-second video was a new thing, and you can show videos of what was happening there. So videos took off from that to show people how I taught. And I would stop people in the middle of performance, say, do it like this. And I'd go back and forth with them. And strengthen them in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. To make teaching less scary, to make it more of a group thing. We all sat around and learned together. We harmonized together and we're supportive together. So I go back and forth and all right, do it again. Let's start over. Let's get it right. And so it just kind of like set a different tone for what a recital was or a voice lesson and a session was. I always did it at my house. So I would invite people over and then.
Yeah, those tacos, Taco Tuesdays are very famous.
It's a life of its own now.
You've had some powerhouses. It's crazy. Come through Taco Tuesdays.
Yes.
Avery Wilson.
Yeah. Some of the best singers in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's insane.
Y'all too?
Oh, it's over.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that, no, that's insane. That's insane. Y'all two singing together is insane. It's not fair.
Yeah. I got to get Avery. I told Avery I was coming here. I was like, I can't wait.
Monstrous.
Yo, this is like, but this is never talked about. Like what you're doing right now, I have to just give it up for you guys. This is behind the scenes talk. I never thought I'd be talking about this with you. This is amazing, but I think people are interested in hearing about the behind the scenes of what we do.
Yeah, because it's the foundational things that are missing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there is no more A&R-ing. There is no more. There's very little to none artist development. And so-
mm-hmm. A lot less gatekeepers.
As people who want to be R&B singers,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to get back to the basics of learning how to sing.
And R&B needs to be polished.
Yep.
Yes.
R&B is a genre of music that needs to be polished. It can't just be thrown out there.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain degree, at times, it has been just thrown out there because of economics.
Yeah.
Mm.
When rap came along, rap really, you could do it for the low.
Mm-hmm.
Best term that I can come up with is you could do rap for the low. Mm-hmm. You could do it in your basement. You could do it at the park. You could like R&B rehearsal.
Yeah,
vocal coaches, outfits.
It's a whole thing.
Like I tell people all the time. I'm like, in my opinion, Jay-Z was the first normal superstar, meaning he could wear exactly what he wore to the interview, to the stage, and then to the party.
Yep.
I never thought about that. There may not even be an outfit change at any point. Maybe he changes from a blue Yankee to a different kind of Yankee. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was so gifted and he's so talented at what he does.
Yeah.
He still became a superstar, but there was no character.
Mm-hmm.
And R&B is always like, think of the names that we started this podcast off with today. These were all characters.
Yeah.
These were all characters that they built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rick James wasn't the same guy in the beginning when he first got out the mm-hmm. army. He had mm-hmm. to find that. Yeah. Prince wasn't the same guy in the beginning. If you go back and mm-hmm. see where he was.
Right.
All of these, you know, staple superstar artists, especially from an R&B sense, all had a character.
Right.
They all, you know, and that's why R&B stood apart from so many other things.
And that came from the jazz days when they would nickname themselves. Mm-hmm. They all had nicknames.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't choose their regular, they got to choose their name. And that started in the early jazz days. You know, some of the earliest jazz legends made up their own names. They'd have nicknames, and that's a lot of Black history. That's money making runner right there. And they'd call each other different things, and that has led into what we do now with, you know, John Legend, The Weeknd, you know, Bruno Mars. Like mm-hmm. this is a thing that we can name ourselves whatever we want.
We can
be whatever we recreate ourselves. And that helps us give a stage presence and a personal life. It helps delineate that, I think. And like when you think about R&B itself, like think Jerry Wexler was a person I think who coined the term R&B. And he worked with Aretha. I think he discovered Aretha Franklin in that sense, as much as you can discover her. But it was called race music before that. And it was colored music, race music. And then that word was getting kind of old. And then he's like, we call it rhythm and blues, R&B. That changed things and it has split. It's like a tree that's split into different ways with neo soul and new soul, all kind of ways. But the roots of R&B, like you said, are the same. These are the rules. You got to be able to perform. You got to be able to sing. You got to have a character.
Right.
You got to have a character. You got to put on something.
So it's more expensive.
It's more expensive.
It's more expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of watered some of it down by adding all the derivatives, by adding it's
oh, it's neo soul. Oh, yeah. It's trap soul. Oh, yeah, it's, yeah. You know, it's not really R&B.
Giving it a reason to
and
not
then
be on
when
that
the
level,
artist right? bought mm-hmm. into that,
yeah,
that's the part that hurt me. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what the outsiders
yeah.
name it, what the people, you know, they put on it. When the artists start buying into that, though, and being like, I'm not an R&B artist. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you are, bro. Right.
They don't
like
know. They
you know
don't
what I mean?
Know.
Like
it's, you, it's hurtful.
Like, but you know what it was? It wasn't even that they didn't know. I just think they didn't want to be put into a box, which I respect. I respect that because they, you know, you see.
Why do you think that is?
Because you see your money's shorter.
Yeah.
Your money's shorter when they put you in a box. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's that's why, you know, I've had the conversation with people when people mention, well, Michael Jackson called himself the king of pop. He did that for a reason. Mm-hmm. He did that to shit on them. That wasn't no, I think I'm this. No. I am the most popular motherfucker on the planet.
Period.
Mm-hmm. So I am the king of pop.
Period.
Not the yep. king of white music or right. dance music or, no. I'm still R&B, but I'm the king of anything
popular
that's popular.
Culture,
I'm the yep. most popular person.
That's where
out
the word
here.
Comes from. Absolutely. Population, whatever period. The population likes.
But it became this thing within our culture and within music that it was like, if you were an R&B artist, oh, you know, the executive shall remain nameless, but he called our shit bathtub music. Called our wow. shit bathtub music. And this is a very powerful motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to put things on it so that it wouldn't seem as big as it truly is.
Yeah.
Because everything is R&B.
Mm.
And that's a big reason why we have this podcast. Mm. And a big reason why we have artists and executives and athletes and whoever the fuck we choose to have on here, because R&B touches
everybody
mm-hmm. yeah. in one way or another. Rap right now is very melodic.
Yep.
In our business.
You know what I'm saying?
And they all want to sing.
Everybody wants
they
to
all,
sing.
Everybody wants to sing.
And that's what it comes down
I
to.
I say that all the time. Everybody wants to sing, from the president to everybody. Everybody would love to sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not a believer that everybody should be singing.
Everybody yeah, says, yeah, yeah. Well, you lucky I can't sing.
Everybody says that. I'm glad I can't sing.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Because as the amazing vocal coach that you are.
I knew I was going to get this question. Go.
Can you help my sisters? they gonna fight me. But listen, my sisters can't sing. They can't sing. And
why
they
are
think,
you like
and
this?
They think they can.
You wow.
And I'll actually pay for the lesson.
China Dog gonna put you in
China
a whole head
with my ass. Her aunt, China Dog and Tanya gonna jump. These are my two sisters. They're very successful in their careers, but mm-hmm. this music shit just.
They still want to sing a little bit, you know.
What at every event they kicking off the happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. Loud and wrong.
In two different keys.
But I hate a bad happy birthday.
And I just can't wait to tell them, y'all was off, baby.
Y'all gotta stop, baby.
Y'all was off, baby.
You off, baby.
But we think we have a special gift as black people, especially to always, sing. We think we have we're the say-so in singing.
Period.
You know, because we've been through a lot to sound this good.
Yeah.
That's what it's the truth. We have been through a lot. When everything's taken away from you, what do you have left?
Yeah.
You have.
This is our arts.
So can
what
you
comes
get,
with you?
So
you know?
Can you get blood out of the turnip?
You know what? Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's be very. I want to be very specific.
Oh shit!
Yeah, in that space,
you gonna start calling out names?
No.
No.
Yes. In a sense.
No.
But,
don't do
but not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. I just want to talk process, right? Because of what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And J-Lo when she came on the scene.
Right.
Not revered as the greatest singer.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Right. But very much a performance-driven artist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got her to a place to where. Her vocal mattered.
Hmm. Right.
What was that process?
Just
so they can understand like how you went from.
Yeah, you gotta make a song meet you, and you gotta meet a song.
Mm-hmm.
There's just those two sides. A song has to be adjusted to you. You have to adjust to the song.
Her specifically, give me.
Yeah, so a lot of her early songs that she's known for were not really in her
key.
They weren't in her key.
They're not in her key. So they were
just taking great records.
Right. They were great records. And she knows a hit song. And so she's like, I need that song. So she had to sing it like that. And that, and she didn't realize at the time you can, how to really make the song yours. And so by the time I met her, she says, baby, I want to focus on my voice. I want to focus on singing. And the amount of respect I had for her at that moment, it just went through the roof. I was like, I got you. I understand. And she's willing to put in the work, because her early music, as catchy as it is, it just didn't make her voice shine like it should have. Because she's a singer. I will tell you right now, she's a singer and she's a very musical person. She knows notes and she knows keys. She knows if a chord is wrong. She's that involved in her music. Mm-hmm. And so that process was really saying, okay, where is the golden part of her voice? Mm-hmm. The part that just literally sounds good. Yeah. Where is that? And so I find that point. And she's already a storyteller. Mm-hmm. She's already interesting. I don't have to teach that. You can't teach that.
Right.
I could teach you how to be, you know, fix notes and stuff, but I can't teach you how to be interesting. So she had all those other elements. But the singing part, what part of your voice sounds good? When do you need to go to falsetto? When do you need to pull back? Mm-hmm. When do you need to change the shape of your mouth to get a different tone? Mm-hmm. And use air. So you get a balance of some air and some tone, you know, how to use the things we can do with our voice, which are volume, pitch, vibrato, and air. There's four things you can essentially do as a singer. So those things we have to create a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. How are we going to create this masterpiece with those elements? So I'm shaping the voice like a designer in that sense and saying, ah, that sounded good. Let's do more of that.
Yeah, gotcha.
That didn't sound good. Don't try to do that too much. This was great right here. What did you do just now? What did you do? Let's do it again. So you rehearse and rehear and make habits of the good things.
Muscle memory.
Yeah.
Just training the right things. And so for someone who works hard, it could work for you.
Right. And she's probably one of the hardest working.
Hardest. She'll work. She'll be at rehearsal after everybody.
Oh my God.
She's like, let's go one more time, babe. I'm like,
you really?
Hey, come on, dog.
Well.
I love you,
but yeah.
So you can help China Doll and Tang.
He cannot.
No. Oh, they're going to whoop your ass now, too. Oh, see? Kick his ass, too.
Hey, man, I'm going down the ship.
Fuck it, bro.
We together on this. Fuck it. One question I've always asked you. You know what? Before we get there, I want to tell the Maxwell story.
Mm.
As we're singing, as we're at the J-Lo party.
Man, yeah. I wasn't at the J-Lo party.
Yeah.
Finished. Hi, J-Lo.
I wasn't invited.
Congratulations on your new nuptials. Yeah, yeah. That was
nuptials.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So we're at J-Lo's birthday mansion.
And you're one of our favorite voices.
Thank you.
She tells me that you're going to be there, and I'm tripping out because I knew you were coming, and Maxwell's coming. I was just like, oh, shit.
So I didn't know Maxwell was coming. You told me. No, mm-hmm. Benny Medina.
Benny told you, yeah.
Benny told me that Maxwell was coming to sing Happy Birthday to you. I said, what? The Maxwell? Maxwell?
Maxwell.
Yeah,
Maxwell. I said, oh my God, don't you do this. So,
shit, man.
It gets on my nerves. So Maxwell walks in, and I'm like, I've never met Maxwell in person. I've never
seen. Oh, you had never
that
met
was your
Maxwell.
First time meeting Max?
That was my first time meeting Maxwell. I'm going to finish the story.
Two of my influences meeting like that.
So I'm sitting there. And Maxwell's singing Happy Birthday, and I'm filming it, and I don't really totally know how to work my social medias, and as I'm filming it, it's done filming, and then it starts replaying real loud, and Jay looks at me, and I'm like,
oh shit,
down.
That guy.
I was that guy.
When they tell you to lock your phone,
I was just my phone to plastic. So. This guy is like, Maxwell is here.
Oh,
I'm losing my mind.
I'm losing my mind on the floor, relax, just falling out.
Relax, I'm on his shoulders. Just relax. You're good. You're going to be fine, Maxwell. I don't know how this is going to work. So it's going crazy, right? So the birthday, you know, song is over, the moment is over. And so I'm not sure where Stevie was, but I'm walking over. I just want to, you know, just shake Maxwell's hand, man. I just want to.
Yeah, you're having a fam moment.
I'm just having a fam moment.
Yeah.
And I walk up to Maxwell, and he was like, I love your music. And I'm like,
don't do this.
Not here, not now.
Both of you niggas crying.
Don't oh, we're both just done. This is the Max is like, complimenting starts, oh, Tank.
Your vocal, just the way
you know how like he talks. He's just
and I'm saying the same thing, man. Like, but you,
yeah,
but you, man, you. The bathtub.
Y'all would have fucked up y'all moment.
Oh, baby.
Y'all would have fucked up y'all moment.
What the fuck
was
y'all
to, bro? We were done. These niggas tripping.
So listen.
We were done.
So listen. Mine's just my first time meeting Maxwell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as I'm walking away from having this moment with Maxwell, Stevie comes over to me and says, you have to introduce him to Maxwell. I said, okay. All right, come on. Let's go. So I said, Maxwell, this is Stevie, one of the coldest vocalist I've ever heard. He's J-Lo's vocal coach. He says, and Stevie just says, can I give you a hug?
Oh, shit.
he was like, listen, can we?
That was your first thought?
That was his first thought.
I would listen to Max with my Sega Genesis. I'd play his album over and over.
My Sega Genesis.
Every night I would play that album. And it's just, whenever, wherever. I would listen. And the whole thing, it was just like, he had a high voice like mine. He was this dreamy falsetto. And I was like, I never thought I'd meet him.
So here's the bar.
Okay.
That was the moment, right? They met. I mean, great moment. J-Lo is like, let's sing. Let's.
Mm-hmm. J-Lo, let's kick it off.
J-Lo, like, let's kick it off. Yeah. Get the keyboard out.
Yeah.
Let's go there. So, you know, everybody's doing their singing thing, right? Stevie looks at me, is like, he comes over to me, he's like, do you think it's cool if I do a Maxwell song? And I said, absolutely. Go crazy.
Yeah, he didn't realize you was a full hype man.
Oh, absolutely. Full battery.
Yeah.
And listen.
Yeah, the water not that far. Jump off this bridge.
He started singing. Stevie got on that piano and started singing this woman's work. And it was so intense, it was so crazy, that Maxwell had to start singing with him. And it is Stevie Mackey and Maxwell singing this woman's work together. And we're all like this.
And you didn't know how to work your goddamn camera.
At that time, I couldn't even get
you
to my
camera. Moment.
I couldn't even get to my camera. I don't even know if anybody has this on tape. Everybody in the room was just like,
I have it.
Oh, you have it.
I have it on tape. It's stored in my phone under favorites. I have it.
He was giving Maxwell everything he needed.
My all.
And Maxwell said, I will not stand for this. I'm going to give you something back. And I
he
said,
he started singing.
Wow. So y'all in the hall of Oakwood.
It
took me back.
I'm ready for someone to sing it back at me. I was so
crazy. That's
honored.
And I thought that was just, I thought that was an amazing moment. And it was a testament to how amazing you are. Excuse me, which leads me into my next question, where I've always, every time I see you, I pull you to the side and say, when are you going to put out a record? Or why won't you put out a record? You have to answer that right here the R&B Money podcast. We need to know. Yeah. We the gifted, we the talented need to know.
Is there a reason? Is there, like, because I pay attention to shit. You said it earlier about not being in the front of it. You said that really early. You discovered that for yourself really early, that wasn't what you wanted then. Mm-hmm. And you were just like, in a sense, there's no pressure. Mm-hmm. I can stay back here.
Yeah.
I can kind of, you know, I can have a good time doing what I'm doing. I don't have to be the guy they waking up at 6 a.m. to do radio, pretty much.
Right. I mean, you're exactly right. I never felt like I was ready until now to actually put out my own music. I released a Christmas album 2020 and I loved it. And that actually opened the door for me to actually say, I want to do more. But it's tricky though. Like, what do I want to do with that? Do I want it to just live? And do I want to go on a tour? Where do I want to sing? What do I really want to do with this? So I have to think, who am I singing to? And in my head, I like themes. I like Christmas. I would do a Disney R&B album of just me singing my favorite Disney songs that I love so much at the piano. than I do an album.
Nigga Mouse
over
here, man. I would do
a Soul Disney album.
Somebody get Bob Iger on the phone.
Please.
This guy, please. Yeah.
Oh man, I would also do an album of Negro spirituals. That's I man, love Negro spirituals. Nobody, but no one does Negro spirituals. I know everybody laughs. What's so funny? Why is it so funny?
It's not funny.
Jay, like, that's why I answer
hey,
this
man,
question.
You and these themes, you have control.
I like the, because I'm a cartoon. I like themes. I like.
No, but are we getting to the space to where you're just. Why?
The
why
hardest not? Part is to say if I had to do one project, mm-hmm. what would be on it? That's the toughest question of my life. If I had to do one, because mm-hmm. in my mind, I want to do all different ones. It'll be a lot of different things, put them all out. They can live wherever they want to live. But it's hard for me to say if I had to do one project, what would be on that? It's tough. It is tough.
But you just the process, you just haven't.
It'd be all over the place. It'd be all over the place.
But why couldn't it be?
Yeah.
Right.
I think now it can.
The timing is perfect to
and
do
now some Broadway
whatever you
gospels
want to do.
And,
yeah. Now, you may not, and this is the reality into all of this shit. You may not get the results that you want. If there are certain results that you want,
yeah.
by doing that and by maybe it not being as cohesive in, you know, one project and top to bottom and it mm-hmm. this is what it is, and it, instead of it just being like ensemble and is yeah. it, I just want to do everything. And I'm just gonna give y'all all of my gift.
Mm-hmm.
That shit might actually click.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we're in a different business now than
yeah,
we've ever
yeah.
been in, to where you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
There's nothing in front of that. And I completely understand where you come from, because I am also someone who people bother about making an album.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I've kind of always done what I want,
mm-hmm.
even when the industry that wasn't promoted to do what you want. It was like, no, you the new Usher. Well, no, I'm not. Me and Usher, two different people. Are you the new such and such? Or yeah. are you? You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna do this type of music? Are you? I'm like, fuck if I am. Holla at you niggas. You know what I'm saying? So it's, but the industry that we're in now. Shout out to the Bay Area. I feel like we created the new music business mm-hmm. by making it accessible with the whole, you know, with social media.
You're exactly right.
With, you know, with streaming, with digital, yeah, with
Silicon
all these
Valley.
Things that, that yep. come from the Bay Area. We changed mm-hmm. what the music business was about. Mm-hmm. And we pushed a lot of the bullshit out, which is crazy because mm-hmm. that's, the Bay Area is also where independent music has flourished
wow.
for
yeah.
generations.
Right, yeah. right, right.
We go back to MC Hammer and Too Short and E-40 wow, and RBL Posse and all these, you know, hip hop artists and even Tony.
That's right.
And
that's
you know
right.
what I mean? Like people
Raphael,
that were
yeah.
that were doing it off. We had a thing out there called Out the Trunk.
Hmm.
But now Out the Trunk is digital.
Yeah.
Mm. All you gotta do is upload this shit. Now it's out the bedroom. It's out the, mm. the living room.
Right. No excuse.
So
you're right.
Someone like yourself with the gift that you have, there's no reason to just do what you want.
I'm gonna say it right here first. I'm about to do this. And it is gonna be whatever.
Yeah, that R&B
it's,
money.
It's gonna be all over the place.
Everywhere.
There's gonna be a song for this group, that group, that group. And in this TikTok generation where people can consume whatever they
want
to consume, go at it.
Oh, crazy.
Go at it, and you're exactly right. And so that it means a lot, and it backs up what I was like kind of doubting and but feeling at the same time. So it means a lot. So yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna
There's
go for
wrong,
it.
Wrong, bro.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're
Especially
right.
when you
gift.
Have a gift.
Yeah, you have too much gift for yeah. any of it to be wrong.
Because we got too many of the no, fuck it. The non-talented.
yeah. fucking,
you know. Just yeah. doing whatever they want.
Yeah.
And putting out as much as they want.
Mm-hmm.
We need the talented people to do the same mm-hmm, thing
absolutely.
To combat that,
yep.
right? Because it's free. Listen, it's mm-hmm. it's free for you to be able to do whatever you want. All of us. Some of you niggas ain't talented.
Yeah, it's not for
and,
everybody.
But you niggas who are that, talented, like,
yeah.
come on, man.
Yeah.
Turn it up. Turn up the volume.
I also
balance
think
the shit.
The age thing is changing. There's not
man.
Like an age to in, to
no,
it anymore. This
it
being
it's
young
just
and
just
pop
content.
And all that.
It's just great content. Is
the
it
music
good?
Business is
yeah.
Peter Pan.
Yep.
It's the music business.
True.
Like
so
for
true.
Real, you
go to an old school rap concert. They're going to be dressed exactly like they were. When exactly NWA right. was the most popping and dangerous group
all
in the world.
Uncles in there.
Just you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's Peter Pan. We can be who we want to be in this business. Mm-hmm. You can be Mickey Mouse.
For sure. For damn sure.
I'm about to trademark
those
Nigga
are
going
to be the interludes in the album.
I'm going to trademark Nigga Mouse and and Mickey Soul.
That's the funniest thing I've heard. Mickey Soul.
So.
Nigga Mouse.
Nigga Mouse and Mickey Soul. Soul. Mickey Soul.
Woo!
I am selling t-shirts.
What does Mickey Soul do? Like, what is he flirting with everybody?
He sings in his house.
Mickey Soul just... And
girl, you looking good, ha-ha. Back that thing up, ha-ha. Oh, gosh. Didn't know all that was happening. It's about to go down up in here, ha-ha. Mickey, where that macaroni and cheese at, Minnie? Let's go.
Yeah, Minnie better have it. You know what I mean? Minnie better have that mac and cheese.
Where that mac and cheese at? About time, huh? Let's go. Huh? Disneyland. Getting hungry.
Those are going to be the interludes in the album.
You said those are going to be the interludes in the album.
Oh my gosh, I'm crazy. I can't believe I got that. I was trying to keep it together today.
Man, just our podcast. You can do whatever you
want to
do.
Yeah, yeah.
You are a friend of the family, man.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the album's coming.
Oh, it's album's happen. Coming. It's he just happen. Told us. He just announced it on the R&B Money podcast that the project is coming.
Yeah,
you will have nothing but love and support from you. Already know that from us.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Point blank.
Get to the listen, important questions.
We're building, man.
Yeah.
We like to build things on this show, and we want you, from your personal opinion, to build a Voltron, an R&B singer. We want to know where you would get the vocals from, where you would get the styling from, or let me say who you would get the vocals from, who you would get the styling from, who you would get the performance from, and who you would get the emotion from. So let's start with the vocal. If you're building your R&B Voltron, what one person would you grab the vocal from? You can say yourself too, if you want to.
No. It ain't me. Oh man, Michael Jackson, Marvin Gaye.
Jesus Christ.
That's a cold vocal.
I'm just missing one other element, like you, in there. Like that would be my third. Like I mean, I need someone who can.
I'm part Marvin, so.
You see, that's why I chose them, because what they did laid the groundwork.
Yeah,
for many.
I'm a piece of Marvin for sure.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay,
I feel that.
Okay.
All right.
Styling. Who are you getting the styling from? What do you want your artist to look like?
Because I'm short and light skinned, I'm going to have to say Prince.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I would take that.
Right now, you know, he cares about style. He's a stylist. He's, you know, guy that always had hair in place and all that.
Yeah.
He was just always, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to. Yeah, you have to explain.
Yeah, explain that.
Yeah.
We'll take that. Performance. Performance style.
We already talked about James Brown, but I want to take it away from soul a little bit. Like when I think of R&B, like R&B performer. Man, I don't want him to be all like old school though. Like
this is your Voltron.
Gotta give it to, like the king is James Brown of performance. The king is James Brown. He had the elements that produced what became popular music and R&B. So he's going to perform like James. He's just going to have every little footstep. He's going da 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 da, you know, have all the moves. Yeah. A band, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Who you get the emotion from?
Babyface.
Woo!
Babyface knows
yeah
his gift.
Oof.
and he knows how to pull emotion out more than I think any other R&B writer that has ever lived. He is an R&B writer, the architect of so much of what we know as R&B. I really give it a lot of credit to Babyface.
Absolutely.
He's gifted. Yeah. And he knows emotion. Mm-hmm. He knows silence, and he knows how to use his voice and to pull back. I love and appreciate Babyface a lot for that.
He's a great less is more kind of guy, yes, too.
Yep.
He's mm-hmm. able to do small things.
He's not going
to
oversing you. He's not going to over. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To this day, he'll get up and
that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to cook.
Okay. We're not done. Top five R&B artists. No order.
There's the 90s R&B that I grew
five.
Up on. I know.
Five,
but
bro.
There's... Five. There's like, okay.
It's five, bro.
Just because, okay. There's the you, Maxwell, Joe, like D'Angelo, like I have to give that important pivot in R&B a name. Just that's honorable mention for who I'm about to name. You know, but I gotta say, you, Joe, D'Angelo, Max. There's more in there. I can't think of it right now. Tevin Campbell. You know, so but the OGs, we would not have this if it were not for Donny Hathaway, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Prince, and I'll say Michael.
Gotta say it. That's architectural digest. No,
absolutely. List. Absolutely.
That's but where it, they had all, a, that's they, where it all yeah. comes
They had a lot of kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
what they
had, yeah. But now I'm about to trip you up.
All right, trip me up.
You
love
didn't
this.
Mention any women. And we didn't say man or woman.
No, you didn't. You didn't. And I don't catch me on this camera. Don't catch me in this camera, because that's a whole different. I need a whole another five for that.
It get tricky.
Yeah.
When you got to pick your five.
That's fine. Your five is your five. All right, here we go. We're gonna continue it. Top five R&B songs. group or solo?
Al Green, Stay Together. Oof. When I think of R&B, Let's Get It On.
Come on,
Marvin.
Take your time. Yeah.
Stevie Wonder, which one I'm gonna choose from Stevie? It's like trying to pick your favorite child.
Mm-hmm.
Superwoman, Where Were You Where I Needed You Right Now? Mary Wants to Be a Super. That's the song, is just R&B, the chords and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. Where Were You Where I Needed You? Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Oh, wow.
Written by, you know, the late greats. I mean, that's like I would say Diana's version is beautiful.
That's what I'm gonna say. Whose version?
Marvin's is more R&B, but I would say what Ashford and Simpson redid with Diana's version is just beautiful. It brings out a high point in R&B music that was just what I'm like, the orchestra and the classiness of it, the elegance of it. And Sweet Love, Anita Baker.
Ooh,
boy, that's
cold roundup.
Cold Anita that's Baker right. song.
Anita yeah. Baker oh is God. Just she's R&B. She's R&B. R&B. She's on my top five. I don't care if I can't count. Anita Baker's on the top five of R&B singers.
Anita Baker is R&B.
Mm-hmm. She's R&B music. Back yeah. and forth.
She's what I know as R&B music. She's what yeah. my father used to always play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what I absolutely. Fell in love. That's no, which worse.
Anita, the chords.
My house grew up on Anita Baker.
Anita Baker. Sheesh. Anita Baker and her band too. Like those guys in the back and the Paris sisters that sang with the band too. There was another group that sang from Bakersfield. Paris sisters sang. They sang back up for Anita. They are in that group too. They were like right there. So, but Anita Baker is very special being from that scene, that Detroit scene with her dad having the club. Like, she grew up in it. That's all she knows. She does it to 100%. Every little lick she does, it's just perfect R&B.
Yeah.
Every chord she chooses is, you know, giving you the best that I got. You know, that's just perfect R&B.
And with you being on the show, what's the name I've seen it a couple of times, but mm-hmm. the documentary about background singers.
Is it 30, 20 feet from stardom? 30,
is it 20 feet?
I think it's 20 feet from stardom.
Is it 20 or 30 feet from stardom?
Yeah, something like that. But that's, yeah.
It's an amazing documentary. Mm-hmm.
That needs a part two.
That needs a part two.
I would love to executive produce.
That you should executive produce. That you absolutely should.
No,
because it's a very instrumental part of our business.
Yes.
That people just don't talk about. Because there are nights where the main person doesn't have it.
Right.
And those background singers are saving people.
Yep. Background singers save.
Saving people. And the audience may not even know at times.
They can usually do what the artist does.
And more.
And more.
You think about some of the, Luther Vandross was a background singer.
Yep.
Tank was a background singer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yourself.
Loved.
Like,
and loved every minute of it. If I could afford to do it all the time and make a living doing it, I would still do it. I loved it. I sang background on The Voice for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got a lot of experience at The Voice, but also learning behind the scenes. The same people that worked at The Voice worked at the Grammys, worked at the Academy Awards to this day. The AMAs, they're working behind the scenes and you see them and your life is easier when you see them. You're like, oh, good, you're directing. All right, good. We got you here. We got the cameraman. I know all y'all. This is the crew that does everything the best. And you feel like you're in a family, like at home. Yeah. These are the same people that have been working this for years. The stars have come and gone, but the same
I want to do something that we've never done on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it could probably get tough for you, but I need you to do this because we need to put that spotlight. Can you shout out some of the dope background singers?
Absolutely.
I know one I've started with, Cherie Fourpain, who's amazing to me, and she's always been amazing to me. That's one of my favorite of all time. But
there's a family that people may not know about that's pretty core in this business, and the session singers for all the movies and everything. You talk about Dorian Holly, who did backup for Michael Jackson, who's still in the game, and he sings with me, and we do Coldplay together, and his daughter Nayana. You have
Coldplay.
I sing with Coldplay. And they're amazing. I love Coldplay. So you have my girl that I sang with for many years at The Voice, Kara, white girl, alto, craziest alto in the world. She's amazing. I love her. Shout her out. Denise. She's one of the baddest sopranos ever. My boy Nelson, who I grew up with, also went to Oakwood. Nelson took over for me at The Voice. You have, and like even Avery sang background for a while too. I can't even name Avery's a star in his own right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you have like those, Jason who directs the gospel choir, Jason White, and he used to call me for gigs years ago. He used to be minister of music at West Angeles. Mm-hmm. He was raised bringing in the singers. He created the samples, Kanye's choir. A lot of my friends who sing in the samples have been in this business a long time doing session work. Yeah. Then you have like Edie Boddicker, who puts a lot of the choir sessions together. You have Jasper, you have Bobby Page, you have just a few vocal contractors that put together, Sally Stevens, who's still alive.
Yeah.
The people who put together the stuff for the movies, and they sang in the old movies like the Peter Pan and the old stuff. You could put a sheet of music in front of them and they don't have to even know the song, they just go. And so these singers never get the credit. Yeah. And there's a whole room of them, and they're beautiful, professional, kind, friendly, and they can sing anything. And I love working with them. I love it so much because they're the core of what we hear in Hollywood. I call it like the choir room of Hollywood when we're together at Center Stage or one of these places where you're rehearsing SIR. And you see your family in there, and those are the people that you're like, okay, I know we're good now. Yeah. I know this is going to be good. So there's a lot more, but those people, the ones I mentioned, Dinash, I have to mention her, the people I mentioned I've worked with for many years.
Yeah.
But the session singers are magical.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that keep everything going. Come you on, don't Valentine's even notice segment. Them.
Come man, on, you got to have a shout out, man.
That's right.
And our brother, Lonnie Burrell.
Lonnie Burrell.
Lonnie, man.
Absolutely.
I saw Lonnie recently after years.
I just saw Lonnie.
Years. I saw him at DJ Cassidy's birthday party.
Luke James?
I saw
Luke James.
Luke. I coached Luke. Luke came to my house with this song called I Want You. Yeah. He's like, I got to sing this song. I put him in opera soprano lessons. Like we were doing, I want you. That really crazy high song. He came over and we started working on that. That was years ago.
Luke sang background for both of us.
He's one of the baddest singers
shows
around.
That I did in my life.
Luke's one of the baddest singers.
Five shows. Luke and my brother Bob.
You did a lot of shows when you was little.
Yeah.
That'd be a dangerous room. You, Luke, Avery.
I used to bring Luke and Lonnie to the front of my stage and just let them go crazy. Go crazy. You cannot stand back there and just do that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put the light on these guys.
Then he stopped bringing my brother to the front of the stage because he would take
his shirt off. Well, your brother wouldn't wait. There's a time where my shirt comes off. It's choreographed. I know when.
There's a time.
And Bob anticipated the snap. He he took his shirt off four bars before me.
Before yours.
And I look, and the girls are screaming. I'm like, what's going on?
I still got my shirt on.
I look back. Bob has his shirt off, he's already gone. And he's doing this with his shirt on. I'm like, I'm taking my shirt off and I don't even feel good no more.
Whatever. Like, whatever. Right.
Screams are all screamed out.
So I have to let Bob go. You can't do that. Like, this is, no, Bob.
Bob got fired for taking his
shirt. But now, how often do you work out? How do you keep this up? Sorry to turn the tables, but
I work out as often as I can. If I can work out 6-7 days a week, I'll work out 6-7 days a week. Wow. Yeah. I mean, because like it didn't scare me that women were screaming, take your shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, okay, cool. Some of them came for the titties. Some of them came for the music. I'm going to take care of them all.
Yeah, it's your job to make everyone happy.
I'm going
to
take care of them all. Yeah. You mm-hmm. never know why people fall in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I just listen and pay attention. And being in shape and being an athlete, that's just second nature for me.
And it's also part of your job and responsibility.
And so it became part of my job and responsibility.
And his name is Tank.
Yeah. His name is Tank. You got to show up with Tank.
You can't show up with the bird chest telling me, I'm Tank.
I'm not going to do it.
Can't show up as Hank.
You
ain't Hank. You have to show up as Tank.
As a professional, I'm 46 years old.
Ooh,
and my wife is like, when are you going to stop taking your shirt off? I'm going to say, when I can't. You understand?
Yeah.
When it stopped paying the bills.
Has any artist done that until 46? Like
22 years?
LL
taking their shirt off? LL don't take his shirt off anymore, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know. But
he's retired. He's retired that part.
Oh, has he?
I think you outran.
No, LL.
No.
B-L-L.
You've outran
B-L-L.
Everyone.
Who's my idol?
And you're not close to finishing. Like, this is still you.
No. I'm still.
No.
I'm still going to another level.
You have a whole other level to get to.
I'm probably going to compete next year.
No, this fool wants to compete in fitness competitions now. He crazy.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he crazy, man.
Classic physique. I'll see you soon.
I think,
and we're gonna promote it like an after party.
Were you always genetically like blessed like that to have muscles? Did you already always have muscles?
Yes.
I was always skinny,
also,
and I'm just okay. I just think some people are born with muscles.
Ain't no
that,
drug tested in R&B.
Some people might be born with some help.
No, I had good genetics.
You have good. I was born singing. Like, yeah. I was born singing. I have a little blessing of singing, but some people are born, I go to the gym once a week, and it's like.
No. I mean, I was naturally cut.
Okay.
You know, naturally, you know, athletic and all of these things, but mm-hmm. when it came time to put on, you know, some real muscle, you know what I'm saying? My first stop was GNC. You know what I'm saying? I'm in GNC. I'm like, so what you do? It's creatine? There's a loading phase? Okay, all right. Okay, that says anabolic.
You know, what does this mean?
You know what I'm saying? And so I would just try and safely figure out the concoction to help me, you know, push and get to that next level. But back to you, my brother. We're not done with you.
All right,
because we got
a very, very important segment of the show.
Very important. Most important, actually.
Some people say. It's called I Ain't Saying No Names. Well, you tell us a story that's either funny or fucked up, or both. The only rule, you can't say the names.
Whew.
Come on, man.
Come on, I know.
We know you got some.
I know you got.
I got a lot of stories.
Yeah, give us a good one.
Seen a lot of things.
You've been in some rooms, my
well,
brother.
Well, yeah.
Just don't say no name.
No name.
No.
That's about to be our new intro to it.
No.
We got to sample that.
No.
Yeah, you got to clean. Got a clean voice too.
Yeah.
They're gonna call for a royalty. Hey guys,
Remember those notes?
All right, I got a story.
Here we go.
Got a story. Can't say no name.
No name.
Very well known person in the industry. That I was around for a while at one point. I can say that he's a rapper, and so I never knew this rapper loved singing so much, and so. Oh, this is gonna be dangerous.
Come on. You're almost there.
There was a point where I learned that rappers really love to sing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They grew up listening to singers a lot of times as much as they did other rappers. Like, so they really want to sing. And so with the advancement of technology and auto-tune, they can now.
Kind of
you're hearing
control.
Notes. Yeah. And so I was like, you know, I don't say I'm a rap listener. I'm not. I listen to singers. So I was singing, I was doing what I do, jam, jam, jam. This rapper gets on the piano. Stop the music. Stop the DJ. Just stop everything. One more song. Please, Stevie, one more song. And let me know if I can sing it. Let me know if I could do the lead. I get one of the mics, goes. I knew it was gonna go downhill a little bit. And I just remember playing the chords really loud. It might have been like, "Can You Stand the Rain" or something that we all love, you know. And I'm playing dun, 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 to drown out what was about to happen. And I turn the reverb on all the way, on his mic all the way. Try to tweak it, turn mine up, his down. Dun, 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 dun. I was like, you know, boom. It's supposed to be on a perfect day. I don't know what I thought I was going to hear, but I hadn't been around non-singers in a long time, but it went south right there. And if people even knew like how if this moment was ever filmed and out, it would just be a catastrophe. It went down that fast. And I remember having to kind of stop and swerve that song back into its place, just out of respect for the song. I had to swerve it back into the lane. And I was like, okay, cause I need somebody. I remember just doing that and like yanking that mic. I took that XLR and I kind of yanked it out of the bottom there. Yanking it out and he was like, what happened? I said, I don't know.
Sound guy.
Remember something happened. I took my hand and I just yanked it out. And I said, I can't be associated with anything. If this ever gets out, I can't be the one on the piano. I will not be singing around bad vocals like this. I can't. I have a reputation to uphold.
You do have a reputation.
I cannot be. I won't be singing around.
So you're a vocal snob.
If there ever was one, I have to say that I've become friendlier, but I am definitely a vocal snob.
No.
I don't enjoy concerts like everybody else.
Vocal coaches are like that, though.
It's me. Look, like, why isn't the sound like this? Why is it? Sound men are my worst enemies. You know.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, why isn't this? And so I am that guy. I am, and I accept that that's where my snobbery lives.
Yeah.
It's the only place it lives.
Well,
it's
he fine. Was a rapper, so there's that.
Rapper.
But I understand.
It was a stretch, yeah.
Where just, you didn't want
to. Yeah, just I don't see why rappers don't rap in the space.
Just rap.
After the singing. There's a point just where I will just rap. Play the piano, you freestyle, like they did when I was growing up, in the 80s and 90s. You just put a cool rap in there, and we're all like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah. That'd be great. But no, they want to be the singer, too. And so it's a whole different game now. And when they're on the mic that has the auto tune, it's a different mic. That's studio mic. This is live performance mic. All we got is a little reverb in here.
If
you got to be able to hold it. If that.
Yeah, if that.
Well.
So that's my story. I don't know. You can take a million guesses of who it is, but anyway. Ain't saying no names.
I'm sure he knew.
You got to sample that too. Yeah. Ain't saying no names. Okay.
I ain't saying no names.
Bro, first of all, you told us you're putting out a project on the R&B Money podcast.
Yeah,
we got
that. Yeah,
I am.
The exclusive.
We got the exclusive.
Promise.
We got no. Okay.
We're going to sample.
We're going to sample.
Take it.
To go along with I Ain't Saying No Names.
Take it.
And just more flowers, man. You are one of the coldest, man. And your gift keeps us on the level.
Mm.
And so keep doing more of that. You know what I'm saying? Continue to be excellent. Continue to have those spaces and forums where people can come and perfect their excellence.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It is absolutely necessary and needed. Mm-hmm. We're going to be sending people to you. We're going to come see you too.
Come on, come on.
And
I got
continue
you.
The legacy of just what you are, man, and what you do, man. You're really, really dope.
This is fun.
Do you take EBT?
No. Yeah, whatever.
Hey man, you can get EBT at Whole Foods, man. I know you need something in that refrigerator, man. I know you need something in that refrigerator, baby.
Man.
Let me stock your fridge for a couple lessons. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tank.
Man. I'm Jay Valentine.
And this has been the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have been blessed to have Stevie Mackey
in
the building.
Yeah, thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Tank. Thank you, Jay. And crew, like, that's what we're talking about. People who are in the background that we don't see right now that are always working. This is, you know, kind of dedicated to you, this episode. This is for all people that work in this industry. It takes a lot of people to make a star.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, yep, I really appreciate it. I love being here. It was like sitting down with my family, getting grilled. I love it. This is everything. Keep working hard. If you're a singer, put the work in. If you don't feel like you should sing, don't sing. There's a lot of people in line to be singers. We don't need more singers like that. If you feel like there's something in you, go sing. Go figure out how to do it. And listen. Listen, you're born listening. You're not born singing. You're not born talking. You're born listening first. Listening. So that's your gift. Listen. And then take that and try to do what you can with it. So that's it. Speech.
Come on, man.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.